All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into a really fascinating case, one that really kind of set a precedent, for how U.S. patent law is applied when technology sort of spills across those international borders.
Yeah, it's I think a case that most law students have probably encountered and sort of wrestled with. You know, it really gets to the heart of those thorny jurisdictional questions.
Absolutely. We're talking about NTP, Inc. v. Research in Motion, LTD. You probably know it better as the BlackBerry case.
Right, the BlackBerry case.
So back in the day when the BlackBerry was like the king of mobile email, right?
Oh, yeah. The gold standard.
This was cutting edge.
Yeah.
We were all rocking our BlackBerry, sending emails on the go, and it was a game changer.
Transformative technology.
But there was this little wrinkle. A company called NTP held patents that basically covered the whole concept of wireless email.
Yeah, the idea of integrating email with wireless communication, that's what they had patents on.
And here's the kicker. A crucial component of BlackBerry's system, the relay, was located up in Canada.
Yeah, north of the border.
So the big question that emerged was, could that Canadian relay, that physical location, shield RIM, the maker of BlackBerry, from infringement claims in the U.S.?
Right, because all those BlackBerry users were right here in the U.S.
Precisely. That was the central issue. And it really forced the courts to grapple with this idea of, where does infringement actually occur when you have these globally distributed technologies?
Right. And the stakes were, enormous.
Oh, huge. The initial jury verdict sided with NTP. They awarded NTP a hefty sum, $53.7 million in damages.
Wow.
And even more significant was the injunction they issued. It actually threatened to shut down BlackBerry service throughout the entire United States.
Can you imagine? Businesses, everyone was relying on BlackBerry.
Oh, total disruption. It would have been chaos.
Yeah.
Thankfully, for all those BlackBerry users at the time, that injunction was put on hold while the case went up on appeal. Yeah, that would have been a disaster. All right, so up to the Federal Circuit it goes. And they're faced with this fundamental question. When does a system or a process that has international components actually infringe a U.S. patent?
Right. On the surface, it seems like a simple question. But when you start digging into the details, it gets incredibly complex.
Absolutely. So walk us through how the Federal Circuit approached this. What were the key factors they considered?
So the Federal Circuit's analysis really hinged on the types of patent claims at issue. And they focused on the distinction between system claims and method claims. And that distinction turned out to be super important.
Okay, so let's break that down. First, what exactly are system claims? What do those cover?
System claims, they describe the entire apparatus, all of the components that work together. So in this case, think about the entire BlackBerry ecosystem, the BlackBerry devices themselves, the network infrastructure, the servers, including that relay up in Canada, all of these pieces functioning together as a whole.
Okay, so they're looking at the big picture. Not just one isolated piece of technology.
Exactly, the whole system. And for system claims, the Federal Circuit really honed in on where the control and the beneficial use of that system took place. It wasn't just about the physical location of each component.
So RIM couldn't just point to that Canadian relay and say, hey, it's not in the U.S., we're in the clear.
Exactly. The court looked beyond the physical geography and really tried to understand who was directing the system, who was reaping the benefits of its operation.
So it's more about where the strings are being pulled, so to speak.
Yes, precisely. Where the system is actually being put into service and where its primary advantages are enjoyed.
Okay, so that's system claims. Now let's contrast that with method claims. How are those different, and how did the court approach them?
Method claims, they describe a sequence of actions. It's a step-by-step process for achieving a particular result. So in the context of NTP's patents, it would be the steps involved in composing an email on your BlackBerry, transmitting it wirelessly, receiving it on another device, and so on.
Got it. So it's not about the physical pieces of the system, but about the actions involved.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the method, the how-to, if you will. And for method claims, the Federal Circuit took a much more literal approach when it came to territoriality.
Literal in what sense?
They essentially said that in order to infringe a U.S. method claim, every single step of that method has to happen within the United States.
So every single step needs to be physically performed within the U.S.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty bright line rule.
Yes, very clear cut. No wiggle room there. And this turned out to be really significant in the BlackBerry case because, as you know, that Canadian relay played a role in the steps of wirelessly sending and receiving emails.
Right. So even though millions of people in the U.S. were using BlackBerries, If one of the essential steps in that process was taking place outside the U.S., well, that could potentially throw a wrench into the whole infringement argument for method claims.
Exactly. That's precisely what happened. But before we get to the implications for the overall verdict, there's another important piece of the puzzle we need to discuss, which is claim construction.
Claim construction. What is that all about, and why is it so important?
Claim construction is essentially about interpreting the language of the patent claims themselves. It's about defining the boundaries of what the patent actually covers. And this is a crucial step because it sets the stage for the entire infringement analysis.
So it's like figuring out the rules of the game before you can even start playing.
Exactly. And in this case, the Federal Circuit reviewed how the lower court had interpreted some key terms in NTP's patents.
I see. So what happened there? Did they agree with the lower court's interpretations?
Well, it was a bit of a mixed bag. They actually narrowed the interpretation of one term, originating processor. They specified that it had to be the processor that actually creates the email message.
So they were getting really specific about the technical details.
Yes, very precise. Yeah. But interestingly, they upheld the broader interpretation of another key term, electronic mail system.
Okay, so why does that matter? What difference does it make how those terms are defined?
Because it directly impacts the scope of the patent's protection. If they had narrowly defined electronic mail system, it might have been much harder for NTP to argue that RIM's more complex system was infringing. By upholding the broader interpretation, they left the door open for NTP to make their case.
So it's a bit like drawing a circle. A narrower definition is a smaller circle, and fewer things fall inside it. A broader definition, you've got a bigger circle, more things are encompassed.
That's a great way to think about it. And it highlights how important claim construction is. The way you define those terms can have a huge impact on the outcome of the case, especially when you're dealing with technologies that operate across borders.
Makes sense. All right, so now with the playing field defined, the court moved on to the central question, did RIM actually infringe NTP's patents?
Yeah.
And let's start with those system claims. What did the court conclude there?
Well, remember, RIM's main argument was that because their relay was in Canada, they couldn't be infringing a U.S. patent. But the Federal Circuit shot that down pretty decisively.
Yeah, we talked about that. They focus on where the control and the benefit of the system were located.
Exactly. And they laid out a really important legal principle. Infringement occurs at the place where control and beneficial use is obtained. That specific phrase is key to understanding their reasoning.
Control and beneficial use. So even if a piece of the technology is physically outside the U.S., the court was saying it can still infringe a U.S. patent if the control and the benefits are being enjoyed within the U.S.
Exactly. And the court found that in this case, the control and the primary benefit of the BlackBerry system rested with the users here in the U.S. They were the ones composing the emails, sending them, receiving replies, managing their accounts. The Canadian relay was just a link in the chain.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, if you order a pizza from a company that has its ovens in another country, but the pizza is delivered and eaten here in the U.S., they can't claim they're not operating in the U.S. just because their oven is somewhere else.
That's a great analogy. The court was essentially saying that just because one piece of the BlackBerry system was in Canada, it didn't mean the entire system wasn't being used and enjoyed here in the U.S.
Okay, so system claims infringement found. Now let's turn to those method claims. How did the court analyze those, given that the Canadian relay was also involved in the steps for sending and receiving emails?
Well, remember, for method claims, the court had established that strict territoriality rule. Each step has to be performed within the U.S. So because that process of wirelessly sending and receiving emails involved the Canadian relay, a step that physically took place outside the U.S., they found that there was no direct infringement of the method claims.
So a very different outcome for the method claims. Not every step was happening in the U.S., so no infringement.
Exactly. And this distinction between system and method claims is really important for anyone dealing with patent law. The rules of the game can change depending on how you claim your invention.
Absolutely. Now, this reversal on the method claims must have had a big impact on the overall case, right? What happened with that huge damages award and the injunction?
Oh, it completely changed the game. Because the Federal Circuit reversed the infringement finding on those method claims, the original damages and the injunction were both vacated. Basically, they were sent back to the lower court to reconsider in light of this new ruling.
So that initial $53.7 million win for NTP was essentially wiped out.
Yes, at least for the time being, the case went back to the drawing board.
Wow, that's a huge swing. So looking back, what would you say are the lasting impacts of this case? I mean, it was decided a while ago, but it seems like the issues are just as relevant today, even more so, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. This case was a landmark decision. It really forced us to clarify how U.S. patent law applies when you've got technologies that inherently cross borders. And the distinctions it established between system and method claims, those are foundational principles in patent law today, especially when you're dealing with global technologies.
And we see that even more today, right? I mean, think about cloud computing. The servers could be anywhere in the world, but the users are often here in the U.S. So how does that control and benefit test from the BlackBerry case apply in those scenarios?
That's a great question, and it's one that courts are grappling with right now. The principles from NTP v. Ryan are still very much in play. They often look at where the user interacts with the service, where the benefits are realized. The location of the servers is a factor, but it's not necessarily the deciding factor.
So it's a complex landscape still evolving as technology changes.
Exactly. And this is why it's so important for anyone involved with patents to really understand these nuances.
Absolutely. So for all our listeners out there, future lawyers and tech innovators, what's the key takeaway from this whole saga?
I think the biggest takeaway is that you need to be really strategic about how you claim your invention, especially if it's something that operates across borders. Think about where your technology is being controlled, where the benefits are being enjoyed. For system claims, that's what matters most. For method claims, make sure every step is happening in the U.S. if you want to enforce your patent here. It's all about understanding the rules of the game and planning accordingly.
Really good advice. So to sum up, for those of you keeping score, when it comes to system claims, the key is where the control and benefit are located, even if some components are abroad. But for method claims, much stricter rule. All steps must be in the U.S.
That's it in a nutshell.
All right, well, that was a great deep dive into a really pivotal case. So as you all continue navigating this ever-changing world of technology, keep those principles in mind. The reach of patent law is constantly evolving, and cases like this one continue to shape how we approach these challenges. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time.
See you then.